Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat on AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Very good show on tap today. I'm in a terrific mood on one front because Jason Bourne, Matt Damon has agreed to come back as Jason Bourne. That is, for those of you that have listened through the years, I am a guy that's not into Jason Bourne. Come on. So I'm in a terrific mood on that front. More on that as the show moves on. Also, we have Peter King with us today. Peter King, SI.com, MMQB, Editor-in-Chief, Peter King, NFL Insider. Great day to have Peter King. He joins us every Tuesday here on Sports360AZ.com. He comes up at 10:20. So 10:20 this morning, you can check out Peter King with me. And I do want to talk to him about the Cardinals being 2-0. Yesterday, I went down to the Cardinals to hear Bruce Arians talk about their win. And I always like his bluntness. And he actually called Patrick Peterson out yesterday. You know, the best corner, cover corner in the NFL and all that stuff. He called him out yesterday. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. I don't know. And I was thinking this. I saw where Kent Summers put this out as well on Twitter this morning. Over at AZ Central, that did Bruce Arians intentionally want to call out Patrick Peterson to wake him up, because you have Michael Crabtree and Anquan Boldin coming here on Sunday to take on the Cardinals, or the 49ers rather. So is this one of those wake-up calls on the part of the head coach? So we'll have Peter King at about 10:20. Ray Anderson will join us at 10:35, the Arizona State Sun Devil Athletic AD, Vice President for University Athletics, is going to talk about the Valley going after the Final Four. Those of you that have listened through the years as well on this know that I love the Final Four more than any other sporting event in my mind outside of a national title game in college football. I mean, I've covered Super Bowls, World Series. How could you not love to cover a World Series if the team in your city is in it? I covered the 2001 World Series. I hosted the pregame and postgame shows and all the coach shows and all that stuff. And it was one of my, I would say, highlights of my broadcast career, having a team in a World Series. But I will tell you that through the years, even when I don't have a team that I'm covering that goes to the Final Four, and I've been to a bunch of them, Phoenix and Arizona have been missing out on getting in the Final Four rotation. And Ray Anderson is the board of directors, is on the board of directors as the Final Four, I guess figurehead would be the best way to put it. And he's only been here 7 months. They're coming to Phoenix next Tuesday, they being the Final Four committee, to look at us, to kick the tires, and Ray's going to lead them around. So I want to talk to Ray Anderson about that. Obviously, he's a little lighter in the wallet. He lost $500,000. I shouldn't say lost, but well, maybe he did. $500,000 he committed to the Momentum program for facilities improvements. He wouldn't like it if I said lost. And I also think it's probably appropriate to talk to Ray, too, about finding his footing, because he's done a very good job in a short period of time, in my opinion, of making the transition from NFL guy last year to running things over at Arizona State. It really feels like there's momentum going on there. So there's a lot to get to, but in particular, the Final Four I want to talk to him about on that front. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. We're brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. You say you have not been up to the Honda Resort and Casino in quite some time or ever. You've not been up to the White Mountains. You've got to get up to the White Mountains this time of year. The leaves are changing. Lots of cool places to go to during the day. And at night, you can pull down the slots. You can even do it during the day, too, of course. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, win some big money, eat some great food. They have entertainment. They have a lot of fun for you at the Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino. You have that summer home now into fall. Why don't you head up for the weekend, make some plans, pull down the slot, and have some fun at the Honda Resort and Casino. Peter King here in about 10 minutes. So, yeah, Jason Bourne has got my attention today. Jason Bourne is coming back with Matt Damon doing it. And the last one was okay. I'll get more into that as the show moves on, but I'm pretty excited about that today. On the sporting front, so I watched the game last night, Philadelphia and Indianapolis, and it was a terrific football game, a terrific Monday night football game. Philly hits a field goal as time runs out. And, of course, Nick Foles is someone that we've admired being here in Arizona. He hadn't played all that well this season. Last year, he was great. Yesterday, he didn't play well early, but came back late. Here's Nick Foles, the winning quarterback, former U of A star.
It just goes back to training. It goes back throughout the course of the week, preparation, the film, how we practice, how we recover, and how we are in the locker room. You know, it's about that group. It's about when you face adversity, you're going to lean to your guy and you say, hey, I got you. Offense has defense, special teams, everybody, we're a group that we're going to stick together.
There's something about watching a Chip Kelly coach team that keeps me there, because there's a lot of negatives and naysayers on Chip Kelly. But I look over at the NFC East and I don't see it, obviously, from the Giants. They're not any good. I don't see it from the Cowboys. The Redskins still intrigue me now that RG3 is out and Cousins played well last week, but it's who he played against. You know, it's not like, you know, go play a team that will set the world on fire, not someone at the end of the rope that's one of the worst bottom feeders. But I still think there's some talent there. To me, Philadelphia is the team over in the NFC East at this point. On the Cardinals front, so John Abraham is coming back to the team. This somewhat surprises me on one hand. When you're dealing with concussions and you say you've lost the passion and the fire. But yesterday, Bruce Arians talked about how some of the teammates were talking to him by phone and working him over. Here is Bruce Arians on the team being in close contact with Abraham since he left.
He talked to a couple of the players Saturday night in the hotel. We had been texting back and forth for the last 3 days. And probably about 30 minutes ago, you know, I asked him, do you want me to announce it at the press conference? He says, yes, that'd be great.
Okay, so he's coming back and he's being put right back into the starting lineup. Bruce Arians, are you concerned about Abraham not being committed to the team organization moving forward?
No, I knew a lot of it was to do with the headaches and first real big one he's ever had. And then there's other things that we're dealing with, and he's fine with those.
Okay. He's being put right back in. Sam Acho was the one who was there. Sam came up with a big play. Sam's a team guy. I get it. The headache side of it, I get. I've mentioned many times my concern about a guy who's had issues off the field that can just play football for you. He has had those issues, but I have to trust the organization in this sense and having him come back out, because they need John Abraham to win football games. I do want a team that goes to the Super Bowl. I do want a team that does it in the right way. He had some issues off the field, obviously, when we talk about the pink pony and all that stuff. But now he's back. His teammates want him back, which I think is important. Teammates weren't talking to him. It was just like, hey, figure it out for yourself. That would tell you an awful lot. The other side of this is... when you look at back on the game on Sunday and the win and how Drew Stanton played, and I don't know if Carson Palmer is going to play or not. The nerve can be a funny thing. An ornery nerve is how Bruce Arians described Carson Palmer in the injury. It may well be Drew Stanton. Again, it may not. But beside that part of it, Drew Stanton, if you're not aware of his story and how he's been brought in to be the guy at three different stops, and actually, Bruce Arians added to that and reminded us yesterday about Drew Stanton's NFL run.
He was in New York for a week before they traded for Tebow.
That's true.
So, yeah, he's tougher than hell. That's what I love about him. You know, he's got a true belief in himself, and you have to play quarterback. And he's got a lot of confidence and a lot of guts.
Okay, but here's the thing that really struck me yesterday. Okay, the Abraham deal, that's a headline. When he was asked, Bruce Arians was asked about Patrick Peterson's play on Sunday. Now, there were a lot of penalties called in the secondary. Patrick Peterson at one point made contact with an official. There's no denying it, seeing the video back. And when you hear the coach and you see where they are at 2-0, hey, the contract's a contract. We're paying you a ton of money, Cardinals to Patrick Peterson. So here's Bruce Arians asked directly, how would you assess Patrick Peterson's play on Sunday?
I thought it was probably his poorest game since I've been here. And he got frustrated and let the referees get to him, and the referees called a heck of a game. The players played a bad one. There was a lot of holding on both sides. We were as guilty as they were. The referees did a heck of a job, I thought, continuing to throw the flags because guys continued to grab. And you better learn how to play with the rules.
Okay, so a few things there. Fans don't want to hear the term referees did a great job, but I think he's right in most cases. There are a few plays I looked at and said, that's not a flag. That's not a penalty. But I'm sitting here as a closing in on 50 guy who's seen the league for 30 years. I have to adjust my way of thinking. Whether I like it or not, the rules that are out there, I can do one of two things. I can say, these are the rules that are now in place, and I'm going to still watch. Or the game isn't what it used to be. Get off my lawn, and I'm not going to watch football anymore because it's really not football. There's a little bit of me inside that says this really isn't the game that I've grown up accustomed to seeing. Those that are in their 20s and teens may be looking at the game, and the NFL obviously wants to get younger and younger, and say, well, okay, that's a flag now. You got to adjust your mindset on that. But I do think there's something to, and I'm going to ask Peter King about this in a couple of minutes. There is something to, I believe, the thought process of Bruce Arians when asked directly, and he's a very direct answer, and he's not somebody who does it for PR purposes, in my opinion. But coaches are strategic. They use us. Come on. Let's be honest here. When you call out someone like Patrick Peterson and say it was his poorest game, and you have the 49ers that are coming here this Sunday, and you're upset because he lost his composure, you're pointing out something to supposedly, when we get into all this off-season nonsense of filling shows, whether Patrick Peterson's better than Richard Sherman, all that stuff, you have to look at it and say the coach strategically went out of his way here when asked. I mean, he could have said, well, he struggled and we'll just move on from that. No, poorest game played since he's been here. That's pretty strong from the coach. Peter King joins me next on the other side after this timeout. NFL Insider, MMQB Editor-in-Chief, PeterKingSI.com joins me every Tuesday at 10:20. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmath with you. Peter King joins us now for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central, across Arizona. Peter King, of course, NFL Insider at MMQB Editor-in-Chief, PeterKingSI.com. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hey, Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I have a 2-0 football team out here in Arizona. I have Bruce Arians calling Patrick Peterson's game against the Giants the worst since he's been here, which I think is a wake-up call for the 49ers. I have Drew Stanton, who's Drew Stanton's about as good a story as you could want in the business of storytelling from all of his bouncing around. And I've got the 49ers coming down here at a game where this Sunday, I think, is very, very interesting. So I know there's a lot of off-the-field stuff. I know you wrote in your column, should we still like football? Do you still like football? Yeah. I still like football, Peter, even with all the nonsense.
Good for you. I like it, too. And I meant to ask that question not to do any navel gazing, because I think the reason I wrote that is that I kind of examined my own feelings about football this week, and I think it'd be great if everybody did. You know, and I've heard from a lot of people. When I first started musing about that, I heard from somebody who runs a fantasy football league, and I don't know where it is, but they all decided last week they were so grossed out by what was going on in the NFL that they canceled the fantasy football season and took the money that they were that they had put into the pot for the winter, and they sent it to a battered woman's shelter. And I said, that's fantastic. Good for you. And, you know, so everybody's got to make their own individual decisions. I would never pretend to preach to anybody about whether they should like it or not, but I do think we've seen some things in the last 8 days that really should make us question everybody individually about how much they like the game. And, you know, the one other thing that has been really forgotten in all this is that last week the NFL acknowledged that one out of every three players on average from here on out, they acknowledge is going to have some sort of brain trauma issue, you know, before their time. In other words, if the average person in America gets either dementia or Alzheimer's, let's say at age 72 or whatever age it is, you know, the NFL is forecasting that one out of every three players in the NFL who get that are going to get it at a much earlier age. So for all those reasons, I think it's always good to take stock of what you do and always think about it. But I come down on this side, really, Brad, that we're all able to make our own personal decisions about these things. There's no right or wrong answer. At this point, I'm still on board with football. I still really look forward to Sunday. I still love the game. And, you know, I'll keep examining it, but at this point, I hate to be overly simplistic. I'm just not going to let the actions of three or four people out of 1,696 ruin what I think is a fun pastime and a good way for America to spend its leisure time.
You know, I'm struggling with this, Peter, and we're talking with Peter King. Do you have to look at each legal situation for punishment? Meaning, we all know violence towards women and violence towards kids is completely and totally unacceptable. Where it comes down to how far do you go? If it's a white collar crime, let's say, or if it's alcohol involved, we're now getting into some areas we've never covered. I've been around the NFL since I was 18 out in San Diego. And that's where I'm looking at this is, okay, where am I going to be at a point where, well, that just happens and that's acceptable, where I have stuff here in the last week I've never sat and talked about, which is probably a good thing to even have this discourse that I've had over this last week.
There's no question about that. I think that, you know, I've said this a bunch of times in the last few days. We are in a different arena right now. This is just a different world for everybody to deal with. And so, you know, just today, the governor of Minnesota came out and said Adrian Peterson should not be playing for the Vikings. I mean, when has this stuff happened before? This is happening regularly now. The president of now wants Roger Goodell out of his job. You know, you realize now the part that football plays, the part the NFL plays in our culture. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of gripping the last few days to see how big it is.
Well, let's bounce through these subjects real quick, because I do want to get to the Cardinals. Will the Vikings do a 180 on Adrian Peterson and he doesn't play this coming Sunday?
I think he's going to play on Sunday. And look, Brad, here's what needs to happen. The NFL needs to take this decision out of the team's hands. Whether it's going to be handled by Roger Goodell or not, personally, I think that Goodell ought to appoint his reputation has been battered and bruised so much, and the trust in him is just down so far. I would appoint some sort of, and this is going to sound way too kind of buddy, but I'd appoint some sort of statesman person. And I don't mean Paul Tagliabue, but I would appoint somebody who has the trust nationally. I'll make up a name, Condoleezza Rice. I'd appoint Condoleezza Rice to hear five or six cases a year with a staff that the NFL or that she would put together, and to take it out of the hands of Park Avenue in New York, to put it in the hands of somebody independent who's got a little more trust right now than Roger Goodell has.
Peter King, NFL Insider, MMQB Editor-in-Chief, SI.com, with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. And Condoleezza Rice has been brought up here in the last week. I know I asked you last week if you felt Goodell's job was in jeopardy, and at the time you'd said, unless there's something else that shows up, no. Do you still feel the same way a week later, Peter?
Unless the investigation launched by Robert Mueller, the former FBI director, finds some major problems with Roger Goodell's story to this point, some inconsistencies, some untruths, I don't think his job is in jeopardy. But you never know. I don't know what that report is going to say, and that's why I think we all have to wait and see what the report says, and we have to wait and see if Goodell is culpable in any way beyond what he has said to this point.
On the field, are you buying stock in the Cardinals at this point?
You know what really impresses me with the Cardinals right now, and I had to go back when Bruce Arians said what he said. It's one of the reasons why I think Bruce Arians is such a breath of fresh air to so many, people who watch and really love football. I'm so, to me, encouraged by what I've seen for a very simple reason. He's right. Patrick Peterson, and I watched a lot of that game on Sunday. Patrick Peterson was abused on several plays by the Giants. And this is a Giants team that is one of the worst offenses in football. So I'm sure that Arians is trying to light a little bit of a fire because, you know, you've still got Colin Kaepernick twice, still got Russell Wilson twice. You got Peyton Manning coming right out of the bye. You got some very good offenses you're going to face. Nick Foles and obviously, Matt Ryan down the road. So I just think that he's trying to say, hey, this is not good enough. It's unacceptable. I'll tell you, the two players who I was really, really impressed with on Sunday for the Cardinals, I was really impressed with Calais Campbell. You know, when Darnell Dockett was lost, he basically looked at Calais Campbell and he said, hey, it's your team now. You've got to handle it. You've got to take over. Calais Campbell really is playing like he wants to take over and really wants to be the dominant guy on that defense, and he's certainly playing like that to this point. And the other guy who I've liked so far is Michael Floyd. I think Floyd has been terrific, and I think he deserves a lot of credit, for not just playing the ball well in the air, but he's also been a good physical presence at the line of scrimmage and downfield in the blocking game. So I'm encouraged by him, and that's turning out to be a real good pick by them.
What do you make out of the John Abraham story out here?
Well, it sounds like it's still to be written, but all I know is anybody who starts talking about I'm having memory issues and I'm having difficulty, remembering a lot of things that normal people at 35 or whatever he is, I'd be concerned. There's absolutely no way I would step on a field again. And I'm sure that the Cardinals will want to err on the side of caution, and I hope he does too.
Yeah, no, it's a story I'm uncomfortable with, quite frankly, just because
no question
the concussion
about it.
Thing.
Anybody would be. I think you're smart to be uncomfortable.
No, it's one of those where you're just another hit away. What do you make out of the West and the whole Seattle narrative of they can't win if they're not in Seattle? And is it the same, Peter? I'll throw New Orleans in there as well. Is it the same for the Saints and the Seahawks when we're looking down the road at the team coming to Glendale? If they're on the road in the postseason, both those teams are just different and maybe in trouble.
Well, remember, you know, last year the Cardinals won up in Seattle after losing by 58 the previous year. I am not to the point at all yet where I think the Seattle Seahawks are a team that is perfect at home and flawed on the road. The last time they played away from home, you know, before Sunday, remember, they beat Peyton Manning by 35 points. So I'm not all that concerned about that. The time before that, when they went on the road last year, they beat the Giants 23-0. They had a bunch of routes on the road last year. And again, they're not perfect on the road. We all know that. But I don't think that they're a team that only will play well at home.
What did San Diego do from your view? It looked like they got a top.
It's interesting. I talked to Mike McCoy about this on Sunday night, and I think one of the things that he was really proud of is that they had no sacred cows on that Seattle defense. they went after their safeties. If you look at the three touchdown catches by Antonio Gates, Cam Chancellor was involved in the coverage on every single one. And Philip Rivers said, "I'm throwing the ball to Gates." He said, "I'm throwing the ball to Keenan Allen, even if three of those throws are going to go against Richard Sherman." That is what I think they proved. You can't go at them timidly. And I think the one other thing that they proved in that game, and he told me this, keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. When you rush him with a wide net and make sure that he can't roll out either right or left, because he's a great thrower on the run out of the pocket.
Last question for Peter King with Brad Sussmat. What are you most looking forward to this coming weekend of NFL play on the field, Peter?
Denver-Seattle Super Bowl rematch. I really wish that it was in Denver. Not to contradict what I just said, but I think that I think Seattle's 10 points are better than Denver. So I think they're going to win the game. I think the really important thing for Denver, the most important player on the field in this game, is going to be Monte Ball. I expect Peyton Manning to play a lot better than he did in the Super Bowl. Especially he's going to get Julius Thomas involved, and he's going to be a key guy in that game. But if they don't get a bunch of second and five, and they don't make that clock run in that game, I don't think they have a chance.
Stay well. Appreciate your time as always, Peter. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad.
Good visiting with you, Peter King, there for a couple of minutes. He joins us every Tuesday. Peter King, SI.com NFL Insider, MMQB Editor-in-Chief every Tuesday. On the other side, Ray Anderson, Arizona State Sun Devil AD, Vice President for University Athletics. The Final Four folks are coming in next week, and Ray is really the figurehead in trying to get a Final Four here. We have never had a Final Four in Arizona. And that's the one big event I would love to see here in my mind. I want to talk to Ray about that and a few other things on my mind with Ray Anderson. That's on the other side. Thanks again to Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content right now on Sports360AZ.com. High school, college, pro, no particular order. Things we see just a little bit different. We partner with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports. Appreciate AZ Central Sports and you being involved every day.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Thanks again to Peter King, SI, and NBC. He's with us every Tuesday. Brad Sussmat, Sports360az. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and of course, the Arizona Republic, big part of what we do as well. Appreciate their partnership with us. Ray Anderson is joining us now for a couple of minutes. I've been looking forward to this interview because I am a big Final Four guy. There are things within our sporting community over the last 20-plus years that I've been here that I say, boy, it'd be great to have a national title game in college football. Check the box on that. Boy, it would be great to have a Super Bowl. Check the box on that. The Final Four, in my humble opinion, is the best sporting event, bar none, that I've gone to because the coaching convention is there. There's something about college enthusiasm that I really like. And we've never had a Final Four here. I say we proudly. This is a state I've been in. So when I see that 2017, 2019, and 2020 are all coming up for the Final Four, and that Ray is now really the figurehead, he's the board of directors for the Final Four bid, and that next week the Final Four committee is coming into Phoenix next Tuesday to check everything out. I wanted to have Ray on for a couple of minutes. What I didn't know is Ray will not be able to pick up any check for about a month because he committed $500,000 to the Momentum program over at ASU for facilities improvements. So forget about that. And of course, next week when UCLA is going on, there's going to have to be people that will buy him a 7-Up or something. I don't know. A Diet Coke, I think, is a corporate sponsor. How are you? It's good to visit with you again.
Likewise, Brad. How are you?
I'm great. I'll be even better. I'll just tell you right off the top. I don't know what a guy like me can add to any of this to help with a bid, but whatever it is, if you need me to drive you around, I don't care. I'll do it because having a Final Four here, and I'm very pleased to see that you're really I'm using the term figurehead, and I don't think I'm overstepping my bounds on that, to try to make this happen next Tuesday. How did this all come together?
Well, you know what? The folks have been working hard for quite a while. I just happen to be the lucky one who steps into the athletic director seat here at ASU in a timely fashion and gets honored by being thrown in with a really strong group of partners looking to bring the Final Four here. And Brad, I went to my first Final Four in Dallas when I first got here, and I'm telling you, it's an incredible, incredible event. So Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tempe, this whole area, getting an opportunity to host the Final Four is really something that we should all be very proud of. And you can help by doing what you're doing, letting people know how great an event it is, getting our local folks rallied up and excited about it. So when they get a chance to talk to anybody about how important it is that we bring it here, that's helpful stuff. We're excited about it, and I'm honored to be the honorary leader, even if it's just kind of ceremonial. We'll take it very seriously.
Ray Anderson with us next week. The Final Four committee comes to Phoenix on Tuesday. They'll make a decision in November, my understanding. Now, the cities that Phoenix is competing against, Minneapolis and St. Louis, is that right, or are there more than that?
No, no, there are eight finalists for the 2017 to 2020, the Final Four cycle. So you have Atlanta, Dallas, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, New Orleans, San Antonio, and St. Louis are also in the cycle. So there's some good competitors there, but very frankly, you know, we haven't had a Final Four west of Texas since 1995 when it was played at the Seattle Kingdom. And then since then, every major conference except the Pac-12 has had the event in its footprint, in its backyard. So it's time for the Valley. It's a premium tourism destination. We've had all the big events that you're talking about. It's time for us to bring the Final Four, because there's no better place to have a major event than this Valley.
What do you want to emphasize next Tuesday? I hear that they're going to be here for less than 24 hours. What can you show? What do you want to get across to them in that period of time?
Well, that we're a championship community that has held championship events successfully, including this year we'll have the Super Bowl. Next year we'll have the national championship. So and then nobody can stand up and claim the weather and the environment and the destination positives that this area brings. So all of those things will be part of the pitch, if you will. There's just so much to offer in this community, in this valley, given our success here over the years with sporting events, that we'll make the pitch that no one else can match that.
And it would be held in Glendale, correct?
It would be up there at in Glendale at the Cardinals Stadium. That's a requirement now that it be in a major indoor facility, a dome, and they certainly shown the organizers, that is, that they can convert a major indoor facility into an incredibly effective and fan-friendly basketball arena. So it will be up at Glendale at the Cardinals Stadium, and we think it's going to be a great spot.
Ray Anderson with Brad Susmat, ASU Athletic Director, VP for University Athletics. Next Tuesday, big day in the Valley, the Final Four committee coming to Phoenix, looking at 2017, 2019, or 2020. Downtown would be part of this too, Ray. You're going to take them downtown, I would assume, to show hotels, the arena, the ballpark, that there's other places to hold the Fan Fest, Tempe Beach Park. I mean, there's a lot of options to show people, I would think.
Oh, no question. Downtown, just like it is, very frankly, for the Super Bowl coming up, will be a vital part. I mean, there's just so much going on down there that's attractive for people coming to town for an event of this size and magnitude. So the hotels, the museums, the restaurants, the other offerings will be a major, major place for this event, again, essentially like the Super Bowl Village is going to be there for Phoenix and this valley area. We'll be able to show them that will be something that could be done at a really, really high quality level for the Final Four as well.
Let me switch gears with you, Ray. I appreciate your time coming on with me for a couple of minutes. the whole deal about the Momentum Program for facilities improvements, $500,000 that you donated, and Todd donated $500,001. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that. But if you could give the Arizona State fans an idea of what this is all about and what it means going forward.
Well, we're envisioning a facility that is much more than a football venue. Indeed, we're thinking and designing this place to be able to provide amenities that will enhance our academic facilities, our training facilities, our medical facilities, and in fact, usage of this facility for multiple purposes: classrooms, conferences, exhibits, symposiums, functions like wedding, bar mitzvahs, balls, in addition to additional sporting events and additional musical events, really a facility that will have uses that will benefit not just our student athletes, but our university community and our community at large. So it was a project way beyond just football, and that's why Buffy and myself were so delighted to join Todd and Penny as the showing that we want to lead by example, because this is such a important initiative for ASU in so many respects going forward. We wanted to help lead the charge and convince others and encourage others to join us along the way, because the end result will be a community asset that we should all be proud of for many years.
Well, I have to tell you, the early reaction I've had in the last 24 hours is, wow, Ray Anderson, Todd Graham are both committed to being at Arizona State. There has been, through the years, a revolving door in your chair and even in the football coach's office. And I think that I've gotten the feedback of, I didn't know that these two were so committed. That's a long-term goal here.
And we agree. I mean, that wasn't the primary motivating factor for either of us and our wives to agree to contribute like this. But indeed, we hope it is proof positive that our long-term expectations are to be here as part of the ASU Sun Devil family, because we believe in the vision that we have here for the long term and plan to be here to be part of it and to enjoy that mission and that adventure. So I think if anyone needed further proof of our commitment, at least this will help get them there.
Sure, sure. How have you found being a college athletic director in less than a year versus your roles in the NFL?
You know what? This is a special place with all the things going on that make it an elevated AD experience. I could not have envisioned the breadth and depth of the things that go on here, 99% of which are all positive, where unfortunately at the NFL level, and this week is an example, and last week, it's not all positive. So I'm enjoying being involved with student athletes and coaches and the higher education community, and a community that really is focused on its university, and those dynamics make this place so much fun and so gratifying, so personally gratifying as well as professionally, that it's just a better place for a person like me and my family.
Yeah. No, what's struck me is, and I'm not there every day, is that you've hit the ground running here. There was no, boy, this is going to take him a little bit of time to find his footing. I mean, you know your footing, obviously, and you've just gone in and attacked everything that's needed to be attacked at Arizona State, that's kind of just sat there. And I'm impressed by that. Taylor Kelly, go ahead.
I appreciate the compliments. We've got an unbelievable team working together on trying to advance and make Arizona State University athletics and certainly the institution overall better. And we're intent on doing that, and we believe we're off to a good start.
Yeah, no, you brought in some really talented people. The football team, 3-0, Taylor goes down with the injury. What do you make out of your football team so far?
Oh, our football team is going to just keep grinding forward. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't make any excuses because, frankly, nobody really wants to hear them. You know how football is. It's the next man up. Nobody plays a whole season without injuries, and just about everybody plays with injuries to key players. And you just got to pick up and move forward, and we feel very confident that we will do that. Mike B is going to step in there, certainly for the UCLA game. and do a hell of a job, and we'll just keep going forward. No one knows where we're going to be in our quarterback a couple weeks from now, and very frankly, if we did know, we probably wouldn't say, because we're not going to give any strategic advantage to our opponents, right?
Well, that's how it's played on the field. You know, you don't want to see, and UCLA is probably going to do the same thing with Brett Hundley. So, you know,
yeah, that's correct.
That's the way game is played. Hey, good luck on this Final Four bid, and I'll see you at the UCLA game next week, if not
you
sooner.
Got it.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you.
Ray Anderson there for a couple of minutes. Well, it's good to hear from Ray, Arizona State AD and Vice President for University Athletics. So I said off the top how pleased I am that Jason Bourne is coming back and that Matt Damon has decided to take on that role. I've got that on my mind. There's some goofy stuff going on today in sports that I want to get to. Some things that Rihanna's in the news. She's mad at CBS and dropped an F-bomb on him on Twitter about not using her song for Thursday Night Football. Colin Kaepernick says he didn't cuss. There's just some stuff I want to get to, and I'll get back around over on the Cardinals a little bit more before we get out of here, and some things on, there's just some odd things I want to get to on the other side, and I'll do that, and I'll put everything together. Thanks to Ray Anderson, Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, and you can always follow me and hit me up on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. This Adrian Peterson story, just every time I go to break, I come back with something new. I come back with, now it's Fran Tarkington saying that he's embarrassed by what's going on. Earlier, the governor came out, doesn't know why Adrian Peterson is playing. I have to believe that as the week progresses, the question, I asked it to Peter King earlier, but I really believe it's got to come up even further. You had Radisson that pulled their sponsorship. Yesterday, they put the Vikings hold a press conference talk about Adrian Peterson whacking a child around with a stick. And I don't mean that, you know, just laughing about it, but it's like the people that do these things just don't think. You put them in front of the Vikings backdrop with the Radisson logo behind them. Come on. So, of course, Radisson says, we're out of here. We're not a part of this. We're pulling our check. In sports, you know, it's like the owner of the Carolina Panthers not understanding why Greg Hardy shouldn't be out on the field. He was convicted. He shouldn't be playing. It's really not that hard. So there's a few things though that few things I want to get to here. So Eric, figure this one out for me. University of Miami backup quarterback Kevin Olsen has been arrested on charges of driving under the influence and possession of a fake or stolen driver's license.
And that's Greg Olsen's little brother, by the way, NFL tight end.
Yeah. Olsen was booked at 4:11 a.m. Monday morning, released $6,000 bail. Police say he failed field sobriety tests. Here's the part that caught my eye. He had five different driver's licenses on him. Okay, so I know we all needed fake IDs back in the day, but who am I now? Am I Jason Bourne? I don't know. Who am I?
Yeah,
college kid who has five different driver's licenses on him?
Can you imagine him going through security at the airport and they're like, okay, we need to see your boarding pass, and he just hands them like a stack of cards and just says, pick one. They're all of different names and different pictures on them.
Yeah. I mean, what makes you go down that path? Dwight Howard might be colorblind because officials in Florida say that he's run 10 red lights in 2.5 years. His license has been suspended. Dwight Howard, the NBA superstar, was captured by those red light cameras in Orange County, Florida, over and over again. Starting in 2012, he was busted 9 times in 10 months for running red lights. Year and a half later, without a violation, blowing through another red light on July 1st, his 10th overall infractions. So here's a kicker to this one. Dwight Howard can get his driver's license back if he pays his $285 fine. So I don't know if he's going to get his license back. I mean, because he's Dwight stinking Howard. Colin Kaepernick. The 49ers are flabbergasted that Colin Kaepernick was given a 15-yard penalty on Sunday for using inappropriate language. We talked about this in the offseason, how the NFL is going to step forward and try to crack down on language that shouldn't be used. And we said at the time, how are you going to be able to enforce this? Well, Kaepernick has now insisted he didn't say anything profane or offensive. Jim Harbaugh said he wishes the league would tell him what it thinks Harbaugh said, because Harbaugh didn't hear Kaepernick say anything, and the officials didn't tell Harbaugh what they heard. Harbaugh said, I didn't overhear that. What I think I'd like to hear on this one, Eric, is for the referee to come out and say, personal foul, illegal language, Kaepernick used a blank bomb, or whatever the term was. Just offend everybody. Come on, let people know what he said. Kaepernick called 65 a horse's ass. Okay, that's what the penalty was for. We want to entertain in these games. If you're going to throw a flag, when they say it's a chop block, right? It's a chop block. When they say it's holding, it's holding. When they say that he used a word, tell me the word.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll clean all this up.
I agree. I mean, censorship's sort of dying in America anyway. I mean, we're not immune to hearing anything, whether
sure.
we're in a school or at a game or walking down the street. So eventually we'll get to the point where, you know, honesty always is the best policy. So just come clean with it.
Come on. I mean, look, it's unsportsmanlike conduct. Just tell us what he said. When the referee turns on his mic, I'm going to use a word now. Cover the ears. Look, you're at an NFL game. It's carnage at its best anyways. Let's not sit here and try to get through it. The lines judge said he knows what he said. It was the right call. The side judge said it. Who threw the flag? The NFL doesn't have a list of words that you can never say on the field. It's kind of like George Carlin, right? Say all these words. So that story caught my eye. The segment of the show, and I've got one more, by the way. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday, I took my 2014 Fusion in. I traded it in. Picked up another Fusion that I really like. It's a sleek blue color. I sit back in the seats. I drive out of the dealership at Santan Ford, and I feel like I'm back at it. Not that I had any problems with the previous Fusion. This one's a newer model, and I really like where I'm heading. Feeling good, driving around. Last night, had to run a few errands. Picked up my son at swim practice, and he's looking around for the vehicle that I had before, and I had rolled down the window and said, hey, I'm over here. He hops in. He's like, wow, love the new car smell. Hey, Dad, this is a cool car. I really like this car. I said, well, it's the Fusion. It's one I've been driving in the past. So why don't you stop on in? The vehicle that you're driving may not be the one that's right for you. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right. Tim is a huge, huge sports fan. And his dealership and the Ford brand are a big part of what he's committed to bringing to you. Whether it's Arizona State, we travel on the road thanks to Santan Ford. Whether it's the Cardinals or if it's the Diamondbacks. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Stop on then, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Two other stories I want to get to. So Rihanna is headed for another breakup, this time with CBS. We talked about Rihanna earlier this week, that she was involved in a domestic violence case with rapper Chris Brown. And Rihanna had the song that was supposed to be for the start of Thursday Night Football. Okay. Run This Town music video from its Thursday Night Football pregame show was pulled last week. So CBS came back to her this week and said, well, we want to put the song back on. Rihanna goes to Twitter. Of course she does. And put CBS, you pulled my song last week. Now you want to slide it back in this Thursday? No bleeping you. No, capital, bleep you, I should say. You are all sad for penalizing me for this. So now in the aftermath of that attack, CBS said it would drop Rihanna's video from its show permanently. CBS said that at first they want to bring it back, but now CBS says, no, we're not going to bring it back. I don't think she wants it back if she's dropping an F-bomb on you on Twitter. That's the way it goes. And finally, the story of the day in my mind, and it has nothing to do with sports. It's just, this is the world that we live in. An Australian man paid $200 for his pet goldfish to have a life-threatening tumor removed from his brain. Owner Pip Joyce stumped up the cash after he spotted a large growth developing on his 10-year-old swimmer George's head. He noticed he was having trouble eating and getting around. It's a goldfish. And he claimed he was being bullied by the 20 other fish in the pond. Didn't join in much in their afternoon party games and stuff, you know. So he took the sick pet, to an animal hospital. Of course he did. It's a goldfish, where the vet decided to carry out a high-risk operation. The fish was put under general anesthetic. Water from the pond was brought to surgery. It was fed into a tube to keep the gills wet. The removal of the growth took an hour. They stitch up the goldfish, put it back in the water. Of course they did. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. You can always follow me and hit me up on Twitter, @BradSussmat.